Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Blackboard Collective presents Justice and Juice. Did we start to have a tenor and then lose him in the middle?
Yeah. Like, is that what
happened? You lost me.
Yeah, he said juice.
I bailed.
That's okay. We got a good right. little snippet of that three-part harmony. My name is Casey. I am one of your hosts, and I am just drinking I put it on the ground. Why did I do that? It's just a giant thing of water, and it's actually really, really noisy. If you listen to this show normally, then you'll know that we normally have like a song or whatever, but this is a very special episode, so we're cutting right to it. So, Pajit, tell me what you're drinking.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Paige. I am drinking water as normal. And then I'm also drinking some like cheap sparkling wine because I have a final to finish and a research paper to get done. And I'm
and just sparkling
surviving.
Wine is how you get through that.
Like, I'm just surviving at this point.
Sounds correct.
I worked so many shifts and so many hours this week. I am like hanging on by a thread. I currently have a heating pack on my back because I'm older than I was once,
you know,
and the service industry hurts. She hurts, but you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. Working woman.
I'm trying. Wiz, what you doing?
What's up, everybody? It's the Wiz. I'm drinking Gatorade. I'm trying to not drink this kombucha from last night. So I'm keeping it far away from me.
Why?
The accidental grab. Well, from last night, it's been left out. You know how you sometimes grab a drink on accident, like a coffee that's like the wrong coffee?
Why don't you throw it out?
Yeah.
There you go. Very good idea. I'm just chilling, drinking Gatorade, and not able to hold a note. So, you know, that's just how it is over here.
You know what? It just everyone's sounds like you're dehydrated, pal. Yeah.
I think everyone's thriving.
I'm certainly doing well.
Yeah, certainly. No, I'm the best I've ever been, you know, really concerned about my rights being taken away or anything. So before we get into that, here's the thing. We couldn't have a song today because what I find super important to remind you guys about is the midterm elections. We are no longer saying that they are coming up. The midterms are here, my friends. Mm-hmm. They are upon us. So we did just want to jump in and give you a couple of good resources and talk to you about some of the many reasons that this is so important. So just in case you didn't know, midterm elections affect the state representation in Congress. So during this time, all 435 seats in the House of Representatives and a third of the Senate seats are up for grabs. That's so scary. Like in my head, like it's like all the cartoon people running around and like buildings are on fire and like that's how I feel about that. So the winners of the midterm elections are determined by popular vote.
Popular vote.
As opposed to the electoral college system that is used to elect the president, which we should abolish, but we haven't. So really, you guys, your voice absolutely matters. And Democrats historically, in years where there is a Democratic president, do not show up well. The turnout is not good in midterm elections. I'm really praying that the past 6 years, I'll just say to be generous, has taught you to not do that. That things are way too close and way too scary for that to be a thing that you're gonna do.
I would also really hope that the last like 6 months would also maybe, like, if you are a woman, a person with a uterus, you know, a woman or a person with a uterus who is in danger of not being able to have the right to choose about their own body and plan their own life, you should be running to the ballot box and voting so hard for Democrats that you break your fucking table. Like, that we can't, it can't. If SB8 didn't do it for you, I really hope that the last like couple days has done it for you.
Yeah.
Because it's go time. It is so go time.
Yep. And the primaries started in Texas first. So I hope you guys out there already got out there because it was on March 1st. But the runoff is on May 24th. So there is still time for you to get in there and make a difference. We will put a link in the description of this episode, she said, hoping the Wiz would do that, to this wonderful website, which has a very long link. It's an NBCnews.com link where they have a tool where you can plan your vote. It'll take you to your specific state, tell you when all the important dates are, and help you plan your vote. Please, please go and do that because it's super important.
And I want to jump in really quick. I still have people being like, I've been told to vote for Democrats. I've been told all I have to do is vote. I was told I should have to vote. I was told this and that, and I wouldn't lose my rights and la, la, la. And I'm like, okay, I get that. I get that. I think we're all really like kind of broken a bit about how hard it is to play against people who cheat when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
And when you are looking at a final say of a law being decided by Supreme Court justices that we as Democrats got screwed on as far as stolen seats, both a stolen seat and then a shoved in seat, we really are in a spot where we still have to vote. We still have to play by the same rules. But now more than ever, we need to think about who these candidates are and if they actually are going to fight the same way the Republicans are fighting to get us what we deserve, which are equal rights for everybody on this, you know, in this country. And that is the difference. It's not just vote D. It's find candidates that you like, become a candidate yourself, potentially, right? Yeah. And go out there and make this country look the way you want it to look. Mm-hmm. And I hope there are candidates out there that are willing to fight for these issues and not just get a rubber stamp and keep on, you know, collecting a paycheck and being a D, but not really trying or pushing hard enough. That's what we need. We need fighters.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Really. Yeah. Like, I want some scrappy people. I need them to be scrappers, be ready to square up, okay? Because we need it. And just to like, these numbers really kind of put, I'm a person who is like thrilled to vote, but these numbers still just like really put things in perspective for me. So in the Senate, there are 34 seats on the line with 14 Democrats up for reelection. So currently the Republicans hold 50 seats, meaning the Democrats will need to maintain their current number of seats, 48, plus win 3 more to attain an outright majority. So we need a lot. And we could really, there's a chance that if we don't show up for this, we can truly, truly, I mean, at least now it's close, 48-50. We don't have the majority, but at least it's close to an even split. But with 14 seats up for reelection, we could really become the minority. And that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. So another reason.
Mm-hmm. Not
and
only that.
if you're a person that has said like, oh, you know, like, because I understand and I know that I'm a person constantly on this podcast that is harping about going out and voting and voting and you have to vote and you have to vote. And I know that that sounds like kind of this like mundane, like blanket solution to a very complex problem. But if you think nothing is getting done right now, imagine what's going to happen if we don't have a majority in the Senate or any, like if we lose the Senate and the House and all we have is the presidency.
That's why McConnell got to put
in
the Supreme Court because of that.
Like, that is exactly how that happened.
You can't just say that, oh, voting isn't useful. It's like we had, you know, Barack had, President Obama had 2 years, but he didn't get to elect a Supreme Court justice in the second half of his, you know, presidency because the Senate was Republican.
Because unfortunately, I am going to quote someone that I never thought I'd ever quote in my life, but elections do have consequences.
Yep.
And like you have to understand that. And I understand completely. Everybody is tired. Like everybody is like at their wit's end and everybody is kind of feeling defeated and broken and unsure. But this is the system that we have to work with right now. And you're not going to be able to, we aren't going to be able to do anything to move the system forward if we have the wrong people leading the country. So I absolutely, yes, like there's lots of corruption and everything. And I'm bummed Laska's not here for this conversation. Cause I feel like she would have maybe just like, you know, she's our little anarchist, mm-hmm. But I really just do think that I absolutely hear you. Everybody hears you. We are all tired, but you have to vote. Like you have to vote. You have to make a plan to vote. You have to know who you're voting for and like understand their views on this stuff because this is real and it's serious and it's scary. And there are a lot of people in your life who are going to be affected by these things because just in the last 48 hours, Roe is on the chopping block. But if Roe is on the chopping block, then a lot of other precedents are on the chopping block as well.
Yes.
And
no, they are.
And
Paige,
that
they
is.
Are. They are.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Yeah. They're on there. Like,
we're no longer hypothetical. Gay marriage.
No, well, it was like
so
an if
many
then.
Things. We can't pretend anymore. Yeah. When they say it, they mean it. We're not, this isn't.
They're not going to stop. They're not going to just stop at, and no matter what like conservative hellhole you find yourself on in Twitter, me just like doom scrolling through what their replies are and them saying, well, that's not what we're saying. Da, da, da. That is what they're saying. Yeah. They're coming for gay marriage. They are coming for anything that had any kind of right to privacy or anything like that, they are coming for that. So if you have a gay friend or anything, if you're just a decent human being who thinks that people should be able to choose the way that they live their lives without harming other people, go, please vote. Like, please vote.
Yeah.
Please vote.
And I mean, we're talking a lot about how this affects us on the federal level with the majority control of the Senate, but also on a state level, which for all of the rights that we're talking about, if they take that away, then we're going to be relying so heavily on our state governments. Mm-hmm. There are 36 governorships and 30 state attorney general offices on the ballots. Of the 36 mm-hmm. governorships, 20 of them are currently occupied by Republicans. That's terrifying mm-hmm. because it can either get so much better in theory, if we got some of those seats flipped to Democratic candidates, but also so much worse. Mm-hmm. If it flips the other way, because then if the federal level fails us, then whatever state you're in, if your state government refuses to protect you, and what if the state next door, if their seat also turns red, can't go there, it becomes less and less places for people to feel safe. It's already terrifying mm-hmm. that we can't feel safe in this country as a whole, but mm-hmm. having governments where they're like, we'll create a safe asylum for women who want to come over the border and, you know, exercise their rights to their own bodies here. If you lose that, you guys, it's really scary out here. I just mm-hmm. really, I don't know what else to say to impress upon you how important your vote is.
Yeah, Missouri right now has only one abortion clinic in the entire state. So some states already basically have banned abortion, right? Where it's like mm-hmm. you can't find the service if you are a person that lives there. If you can't afford to drive or fly yourself to wherever that clinic is, you just won't have the opportunity to do it. So to do it safely, or at least medically, right, in the state, medically, professionally, you know, in a medical setting versus potentially doing something on your own. But also, Casey and Paige, not to put more pressure on the midterms, but at the state level, you're right, huge importance. And at the state level, not only is it about protecting your own rights because you don't have the Supreme Court protecting you anymore, which is the federal government, right, protecting you. you have to worry about the people who will be tasked with the presidential elections and the electors and the people who are watching and overseeing the elections and counting ballots. And we are in a very scary place where these people are desperately trying to get into politics to be able to ensure a victory for their candidate of choice. And they will find any possible way to do that. And it doesn't even have to mean that their candidate wins as long as there's doubt, because the doubt allows the candidate to continue existing as a viable political entity, which provides them with capital and financing and a grift and all that. So it doesn't mean you have to even win as long as there's doubt. So we're looking at very scary times, scarier than we're even wanting to admit, because we are exhausted from being scared about politics, COVID, et cetera. And I get that, but I think it'll turn pretty quickly. We'll have to turn ourselves on high very quickly, because it's the reality that we're going to be facing. And yeah, I'm not quite there yet to be scared, but I will be scared. And
I'm terrified.
I'm not even scared yet. I'm just pissed off. I've skated past scared. I am pissed off.
I think it's been so interesting. I think I'm too tired to even be angry, because I'm not surprised. I'm just exhausted and really sad that, like, this is the first time, this conversation that we're going to have, which I think we can move into the SCOTUS conversation. This is going to be the first real conversation I've had about it. I've talked about it with B a little bit, but mostly just because I really can't let it in how scary and upsetting it is for me. And my first thought was honestly, like, at what part of The Handmaid's Tale did I say they should just leave? Why didn't they leave right then? You know? And I'm like, and how close am I getting to that? To where
how
I'm
close,
like,
are we to that reality?
Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, why didn't you just leave then when they started taking away your rights to your body? That was obviously the sign that shit was going downhill, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, by the time they start draining my bank account, it's too late. So, like, what's the next red flag?
Right, like, what do I need to be looking out for here?
Where is the, I was like, okay, this is definitely the beginning. What's the one? Like, I feel like I need to, for real, start making an exit plan. For real, start making an exit strategy.
Yeah, yeah, like, not even a joke. Like it's Canadian not, Day, like, a joke. Like, it has been a fun joke for the last, you know,
applications
year. Applications
will,
like,
be posted on my website.
Literally. Like, I'm, like, going to post one.
And I've been wondering too, I was like, okay, so my dad, the company my dad works for is based out of Canada. I wonder if that would offer me any, you know, because technically he could move to Canada and my mom could move, but I'm not a minor anymore. So I can't, these are real thoughts that I've been having of, like, when
you can't live in Texas.
Absolutely not. I mean, no, I already moved out of that crazy place. So
she's like, I already got out.
Yeah, that's out of it. But when it gets to the point where the liberal bubble can't protect California,
right?
Because we got some real non-liberal pockets here. Like, honestly, LA, I feel like, is most of what keeps California blue. If you leave LA proper and go to, like, Orange County, Santa Barbara, you know, any of those richy rich places, it's very Texan over there. I'm like, oh, where am I? Did I go home?
Yeah. I'm worried too. I worry too that one of the big problems that we're going to be facing, and Casey, this is something that I'm not trying to be offensive at all to you, because you have a very strong faith in religion and God. And I'm really worried, though, about how certain groups of people believe God is on their side, and what God and how they practice their God tells them certain things can't be allowed. And that includes all sorts of things. And one of the big ones would be gay marriage, and how we're potentially seeing a huge swing towards the conservative side because of some of these social issues that could be based in religion. Minority groups that were once really heavily Democrat that are now moving more towards the middle/Republican. And I just want to talk about that because it's really scary. And the more religious we get, the more conservative you get. It's just how it works in countries. And so
most of that, like, they use religion to back up a lot of things that aren't necessarily, which isn't new for America. I mean, they used they used God to back up the notion of slavery, you know, and a part of one of the in the opinion where he was, you know, citing essentially all of these cases, one of them was the one that legalized interracial marriage. That's not biblical. What does that have to do with your Christian morals? But they will say it is. I'm certain all of Handmaid's Tale is people cherry picking the Bible and finding ways to make it so that you can oppress women or people of color or the whole thing. And that's exactly what they're doing. So yes, I mean, I find it because I am a believer in Christ. I find it even hard to call myself a Christian these days because I feel like it has taken on new meaning. It is hard for me to even buy that any of it is a Christian thing. I'm like, you are just latching on to something because you know people will rally around it. It's easy for people to categorize themselves as I'm this. Well, if you're this, then you must agree with me. And that's a great way to get voters. That's a great way to get a voting base. But that has nothing to actually do with what they're doing. Now, is it effective? Absolutely. That's why they've been doing it forever. Are the you know, people who own these super mega churches, are they lining the pockets of these politicians and vice versa? Are the politicians probably doing a lot of favors, tax breaks, and crazy things like that for them? Absolutely. But that's capitalism. That has nothing to actually do with anybody's religion. That's money. That's greed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it's really about. But yeah, I agree with you. It's, again, very effective, which is why they will never stop doing it. And it's terrifying and really, really heartbreaking to see what, yeah, it's heartbreaking for me on so many levels for them to cherry pick the Bible to tell me why I don't deserve rights.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, and also too, like, it just, like, I saw this tweet last night and it's just so crazy to me that we continue to come back to this, like, well, it wasn't in the, like, so the whole Alito's entire opinion was like, Roe was egregiously decided. Obergefell was egregiously decided. Lawrence v. Texas, egregiously decided. Everything's been egregiously decided because it wasn't, like, the word abortion has never been mentioned in the Constitution. Like, really, that's what they're saying. That's like the strand, this little thread that they're holding on to is that this was not this was not explicitly stated in the Constitution, therefore, blah, 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 right? That's pretty much what Alito's entire thing says in a lot of, like, really crazy, like, really exaggerated and dramatic and, like, going really hard for a Supreme Court opinion.
Like, draft, very hard,
very clearly.
And essentially, like, it was like, you guys, the part where he was essentially calling liberals Nazis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me dog whistle, right? Let me dog whistle to Clarence Thomas, who says that abortion was used. And this is true, but it's not like, it's not the basis on what abortion rights are for, but abortion was used to control the population of color, right? Like, that was true. That's a true statement. However, that is not what we're talking about.
Also, yeah, I feel like
that's what we're talking about.
I think forced abortion should be called something entirely different.
Yeah, like, that's not what we're talking about.
Two very different things.
Exactly, exactly. I am not talking about forcing a person to have an abortion
because of ethnic cleansing.
Ethnic cleansing, eugenics, whatever. Like, let's throw that away. The fact that that's even put into a Supreme Court opinion is sick because it has nothing to do with the case. And, but so the entire thing is just, it's like these little cherry picky little, like, I'm going to, you know, oh, we'll call liberals Nazis and we'll say all of these things.
All the things but that the they call us. Thing, it just felt very like,
yeah.
Ugh, he was, well, like, poking
it's political.
Fun.
It's political, though. And I have said this before on this podcast. The Supreme Court is not supposed to be political. It is supposed to be a nonpartisan
oversight,
like above politics oversight committee, essentially. Like that's what its job is.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy to me. And we have continually come back to this. We always come back to this because of originalism, because of all these things that people want to hold on to this document that was made, I mean, in 1776. Like, it was so long ago. Like, that would be like us being like, guess what? No more cars, only horses from now on, because that's what they did back then. Like, it just, it's like looking through, it's like, to me, and I've said this for a while, I'm pretty sure I've used this analogy on, but it's the only way that I can think of to like put it into perspective. It's like using your first pair of glasses forever, and your eyes change all the time.
Yeah.
Your prescription changes, everything too. But it would be like being 5 years old and getting a glasses prescription, and then being 75 years old and being like, well, these are the glasses that I've been using for 70 years.
No, I know. And I mean, we've said, again, a million times on this podcast that we need a new constitution. We honestly do. Like, it just doesn't make any sense that we're still using the same document. And it makes even less sense for us to go back on ways in which we have improved the small things that we have been doing to try and modernize it, like with the changing society. They're trying to repeal. They're trying to strip away. And like, it is the most terrifying thing to me, because and I feel like this sounds so dramatic, and I'm finding myself getting emotional about it, and I didn't expect to.
Okay.
But like,
that's okay.
The thought of going backwards, I know where this country started. Mm-hmm. There's like, if you slowly start peeling away rights and taking us back to what we used to be, I know where that puts me in this society. Mm-hmm. And that's so scary. I remember seeing a play as a preteen. I was probably like 12. And I think it was called The American Clock or something like that. And it's this surrealist world where, you know, they're starting to take rights away. And there's this line where she's just like, I'm afraid that one day they're going to come ask for my freedom papers and I'm not going to mm-hmm. have it. I don't have anything to prove that I'm free. Like if they, mm-hmm. if, you know, and if they did that, then chills. They could, yeah. like, that's so scary.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel knowing that Justice Alito and Clarence Thomas are leading the charge of this? Both of them, you know, minority members of this country.
What is Alito?
Isn't that like a sick, I think he's Mexican.
I think he's Latinx, American. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I haven't seen him. Or if I did, I thought he was white.
Oh, white. He's very light. I mean, he's light skinned, but I mean, just to say, like, I mean, these are two guys. These are not to think that like they would be leading the charge to like go backwards like this.
Yeah, I don't. Really, I honestly don't. If I could get into the minds of what most conservative politicians are thinking, then that would be the dawn of a new day.
See, and you know what sucks?
World, but like,
you know what really sucks is that they're not even politicians. They are supposed to be impartial justices of the court.
Well, that's not what they are, obviously.
And that's the thing. Like, that is just why, like, there's so many things that are so backwards about this. But like, and also too, Stephen Colbert made a really good point on his show last night. Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch all of them said that in their confirmation hearings that Roe v. Wade was law of the land. All of them said that. It's settled law. That is what they said.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that any, I know you're saying they're not politicians, but they're acting like it. So I don't know what else to
no,
call
no,
them.
No. They are like that. I'm saying they're not supposed to
no,
be.
No, I know. Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Like,
I wish
more politicians were held to what they say in any circumstance, you know, like it's become so commonplace for them to just say whatever and then get in office and do the exact opposite. And there is no punishment for that.
Cinema.
So yep. Who cares? you know, yeah. like, especially yeah. for the ways in which they're operating. They don't give a, you know, say whatever I need to get elected. And then once I'm elected, I'll do what I want to do. Thank you very much. I have a lifetime yeah. appointment. Bye. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, and that's the other problem. There's a lifetime appointment. Like, why is
a lifetime? Why? Oh, guys, but so then also tired. Too, but like, it's also back to like what we were talking about, like with the Constitution, like, not all of these ideas were great. Like, let's stop pretending.
They like, didn't even think that all of the ideas were great. They didn't. It was right. an experiment.
It's called an experiment. You're supposed to change stuff. When things don't work, you're like, you know what? Let's change it. And I just cannot imagine seeing this document that created this moment that we are in now and wanting to ride for it so hard. I don't understand. It is a flawed document. It has some very good things. It has some very bad things. The fact that we are supposed to think about it so hard and revere it so much when not one of us is mentioned properly in there. Jewish, black, white woman. I'm probably queer. The only person.
Queer white
but
woman.
But I'm queer, right? So, but I like... at face, I'm probably the only person that could like get away with it, but yeah, I with the original, like, shave my head
with the OG.
You know what I'm saying?
With the OG,
but like that's the thing. So like, why are we looking at like? There are so many. I think about all of the female politicians who are pro-life, and you know what? I disagree with pro-life people so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. Do I absolutely think you should be able to have your views? Sure. Yes. Whatever. Do I think you should be a person in power that is able to take rights away from other people? I do not. But
that's kind of my thing is that, well, and also here's the other thing that I have always struggled with all of these people trying to make like all of these laws based off of faith in Christianity. Isn't there supposed to be a separation of church and state? Like, isn't that yeah. like a thing that's supposed to yeah. be real and yeah. kind of like a law of the land yeah. and like kind of
that's in like the OG.
That's in the OG. I'm
that
saying,
was literally
like, if you want to go back to the OG, there's definitely supposed to be. So like maybe we shouldn't even be mm-hmm. disclosing our faith. Whoa, yeah. crazy concept that if we're working in politics, whoa. That shouldn't even come into it because that's how you get uh-huh. all of this uh-huh. fucking uh-huh. poison that's happening between mm-hmm. the two.
It's separation between Islam, Judaism,
oh, right.
Buddhism, other religions mm-hmm. from state,
mm-hmm. right.
definitely mm-hmm. not evangelical white Christian.
Right. Yeah. No, that is state. So when they said state, they meant mm-hmm. evangelical white Christian. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. and separation yeah. from everything. It's yeah. just absolutely insane.
Right. So. Also, what I would like to just point out is that America was literally founded, created, stolen on stolen fucking land, but founded and created because people were fleeing religious persecution mm-hmm. by the state. Yep. I literally just, and their entire jam was like, we're going to create a place where it's okay to just do, like, believe yeah. what you want. And, like, they didn't, like, implement that, right? There were a lot of, you know, they had their own Puritan beliefs, and we can get into that at another podcast. But there really is this insane, like, cognitive bias where they're just like, or it's not even cognitive bias, it's cognitive dissonance, where they're just yeah. like, I'm going to pretend, like, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're seeing. And like America's built on Christianity. Like, no, it's not. No. No, it's not. America was built by a bunch of rebels who fought against their queen, essentially. Yeah. And then, you know, sailed across the ocean blue and whatever, you know, the rhymes.
So like, do we need to settle the new America? Is that what's happening? Is that all of the current rebels yeah. go and then we yeah. create new America? It'll be like, yes. it'll be, you know, or we can come up with a new name, but we can be new America, yeah. like New York, New Mexico, New America, whatever.
I like it, actually.
And then
yeah, it's on the coasts. I like it. This is New America. This is New America. And on the inside, this is Gilead. And whatever they want to do in their little handmaiden world, they can do that.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
That's what y'all want to do. I hope that you guys, if that's what you want, you go do that. Don't make me do that.
Don't make the rest of us But again, it's the question of like, when's the right time to flee? Like, when do we organize and actually just be like, hey, we're leaving to establish New America.
Yeah.
With our new constitution that's actually going to have separations of church and state, you will actually be able to be allowed to believe whatever you want to believe and practice your beliefs and be who you want to be and love who you want to love, you know.
As long as your beliefs don't harm other people.
As long as you aren't harming other people in the process.
Legitimately harm another person. And I'm not talking about the person, the quote-unquote person that grows inside my body and feeds off of my body.
Yeah.
We are not incubators. I mean, incensed.
Yeah.
We are not human incubators. And anything that needs my body to live has to have my permission to be in it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was going to jump in and try to say this succinctly, this idea that
when
you separate church and state and you can actually weaponize church though, which is what I think we're seeing with the conservative, the Republican Party probably since its inception, where they can claim religious freedom from state for everything they don't want to do or see or have be part of their lives in this country. They can claim, oh, First Amendment, free, you know, I have my religion. Second Amendment. Wait, what is it? What amendment is freedom of religion?
Freedom of religion is in the first, it's in like the First Amendment.
It's the First Amendment, right? Freedom, I can not make a cake for this gay couple because I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. It's against my religion. I can say my religion says I don't have to wear a mask. I can say my religion, I don't have to hire this person.
Says you don't have to wear a mask during a pandemic? I'm just saying that in some holy text.
I'm just saying
you're ridiculous. I'm sure somebody has said
that
it.
Is the way,
but that's how.
That is the way in which people have been able to keep the progression of society away from themselves is by insulating themselves in the religious separation so that the state can't impose upon them things that go against their religion. So they've actually never been, no one's ever had to come for them or take away something from them or make them do anything they don't want to do because they just claim religious persecution. So this group of people really have
How can you claim religious persecution while oppressing other people on the basis of your religion?
That's how they've done it. Now we need to create a religion that is one that is kind and equal and then enforce it as the rule of law.
Buddhism is pretty open.
I feel like I'm going to say something, and Casey, I don't want you to stress out. Satanism, there's a lot of pretty solid beliefs in Satanism, and I'm not going to lie to you. I am not going to lie to you.
Well, that is a very stressful.
I know. I knew it was going to stress you out, but it's not all you think it is. And there's a lot of it's not like worshiping the devil.
Is it aptly named?
I don't think so. Honestly, okay, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I am like the, and I don't know everything about Satanism. I was listening to a podcast on it because I'm intrigued. I'm not religious in any way. So I like to know about other religions because I think they're interesting. Satanists are pretty much just like, do you, bro? Whatever. Like, very chill. I'll do some more research and we can talk about this at another time so that – because it's not like a witchy – or I mean, you know, I'm into – witchy stuff's cool with me. But it's not this, dark – it's not as dark as it's been, propagandized to be, if that makes sense.
I mean, I feel like Buddhism is also open – and stuff without being called Satanism. But I'm, but you know, I mean, hey, everything's not in the name.
A roast by any other name.
I will. Yeah. That's okay, what I'll say about that.
See, but if I was a Satanist, you would still love me, wouldn't you?
I would. See? I would. Because I actually follow Christ. Conservatives, suck on that. I love Satanists as well. How does that make me feel? And I am black and pro-choice. I'm everything you don't want.
Yes. She's also, like, you know, kind of like falls in the middle on the gun issue, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess falls in the middle if we were in a utopia. I mean, living in the United States of America, I've become pretty anti-gun just because I feel like if you can't handle your toys, we must take them away.
You don't get them. Yeah.
Like, it's that's just so... how that works.
yeah. No, so, I completely agree.
Anyway, I think also, I want –
Oh, real fast. I wanted to plug. I plug this podcast on this podcast all the time. But Strict Scrutiny is the Crooked Media Legal podcast that I have talked about a few times. And they did an emergency episode about the decision, the SCOTUS decision. And it is really, I mean, it's really kind of nice to listen to. And they're funny. And it's nice to have like an entire, like a professional and extremely educated opinion on next steps and what to do. So, excuse me,
lawyers, right? Yes. I listened to their episode on this, the SCOTUS opinion yesterday and they were so funny.
They are really funny. And they also, I mean, they're smart. They kind of like, it's helpful to look at it from this more of like a less emotional lens, you know, looking through the more logical or action driven lens can sometimes it's how I cope for sure. So if you are like me, it's on the Pod Save America feed, and they had Melissa Murray, Kate Shaw, and Leah Lippman all do their thing on their podcast. So go listen to it. It definitely made me feel better.
And I mean, and speaking of being actionable, that's what I was going to bring it back to, is like everything that we talked about right now with this SCOTUS opinion that's come out, which, I mean, granted, is likely a first draft, may not be as intense when it is the official opinion, like when it's the final thing, but it will likely not be
close.
Yeah. Probably not gonna, it may take off out some of the more petty jabs, but I think in its essence, it's gonna be the same. So midterms, vote, because that's the last thing we have left. Holding on to our Senate, actually trying to grab the Senate majority, if we can, grabbing onto as many states' rights, you know, politicians who will represent your rights and your beliefs on the state level is going to be incredibly important moving forward. So please get out there and vote. Like I said, I'm sure if you Google plan your vote NBC News, then you'll probably get to that link. But like I said, The Wiz will put that link in our description so that you can plan your vote. And just please get out there, you guys. We need you. You need you.
Everybody needs you.
We all need you. Yeah. Your vote matters. You need you. Yeah, get out there and use your voice.
And if you're a person that feels like your day-to-day life isn't going to change because of these things,
you're wrong.
You're just wrong. And recognize that there are a lot of people that – and you know what? And like – Maybe you are a straight white man that listens to this podcast who is not Zach because he's Jewish, so he is exempt. My ish. He's exempt ish. But if you are a person that is not affected by this, you have plenty of people in your life who are legitimately terrified. legitimately angry, legitimately Absolutely. Scared for their future and their lives. And if that doesn't, if that's not going to motivate you, then talk to your therapist about that. Because yeah. we are all scared. We are terrified. Everyone is unsure about what's going to go on. And it's 2022 and we should not be living like this. I have a final question. And okay. I want
Amazing.
Quick, succinct answers. And it's, who do we think leaked it? Who leaked the opinion?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a good enough idea of the political landscape, truly, to answer this question well. Okay, that's fair. I feel like I've heard a lot of really smart opinions, and I think I don't know. There is this. I wouldn't know exactly who, but it feels good to me, the side of like, oh, somebody in the liberal camp who was concerned about voter turnout maybe leaked it in order to re-energize the party and be like, hey, this is what we're up against. Please, because it definitely did that for me. Like, I've been so tired. And so, I mean, I was never gonna not vote, but like,
right,
my feelings about it were like, whoa, I gotta go through all of that material again.
Yeah,
I gotta vote. Like, yeah. Okay, like, let's go through that material. So I think maybe, but I don't know exactly who.
Okay, Wiz, who do you think it was?
Well, the two thoughts that I've heard was that what Casey said, a Republican who wants to make sure that nobody switches sides.
Yeah.
Because that obviously is a decision has been made on that draft. And that means that if it comes out earlier, then you can't persuade someone to change their mind if Roberts was trying to change people's minds. So to me, it's either a conservative doing it, a liberal, who is shocked and appalled by it and is just like, this is disgusting and you need to see this immediately because it's just, this is absolutely disturbing because it is to do that. And the third one is it's been hacked. It was hacked and it was released, which is also possible. So
yeah,
those three makes the most, those all make sense to me.
Yeah. What do you think, Paige?
Yeah. I actually hadn't even thought that they'd been hacked. That's funny. That never even crossed my mind. I was like, somebody did this intentionally. So I know that I asked the question, and I definitely lean more towards that it was a conservative or a Republican person who wanted to lock people into their votes, especially because it doesn't really gain us anything as liberal people, except for a lot of anger and fear and just more protests. But it could definitely increase turnout. Yes, which is important. But I also I do care because of the tea about it. Like, I'm like, ooh, who did it? But everyone who has chosen that to be like their big thing of outrage, like, I'm just like,
oh yeah, like, who gives it? Yeah.
Just slow blinking at them. Like, I don't care. No. I want to know because I'd be like, ooh, juicy, not because I'm like, that person needs to be prosecuted. Like, there's so many. Seriously. And I think it's really interesting too that a lot of conservative leaning Twitter accounts or whatever are focusing so much on that rather than the opinion that they leaked, you know? Yeah. So it's just interesting. I mean, it's just interesting that's that, but you know, we might never find out. But I also do want to shout out to, I didn't read who wrote the Politico piece, but shout out to you for publishing that. And look back at history, that these kinds of things do change the world. So when you're brave enough to publish scary documents, like, cool stuff happens. So no matter what everyone wants to say about the mainstream media, and yes, they absolutely have, you know, agendas and whatever, but this is when the power and the importance of the media comes through. So
yeah,
I just definitely wanted to.
We are definitely living in a historic time for so many reasons.
I'm so tired.
The past few years, we have been like, I'm like, oh, we're in one of those times where in 30 years, this is going to be a textbook where they're like, mm-hmm. this era. I can't wait to see what they name it.
The pandemic era, the great divide. It's probably what they're gonna call it, something stupid.
Something, but that's assuming that we haven't had another war by then, and it's going to just be talked about in that context.
It'll be called Gilead's Start.
The end of democracy.
The end of democracy, right.
The start of the Handmaid's Tale.
The museums, like in 1,000 years, will have that, because there'll be a time where it'll be all dark. They won't talk about it because they'll own all the things, and so it'll be pretty bad.
But we'll talk about it in the New America. We'll talk about it in New America. We have to know our history.
I'm actually not moving back to LA. I'm moving to Canada. So
yeah, no, I get really that. Fun. No, that tracks. I'll meet
LA's
you.
LA's
yeah.
the Canada of the US for now, at least.
Until there is no weather. Canada of the US. And then...
Until there's only Canada.
Right.
well, Washington State is really progressive too, and that's really close to Canada. So we could slowly move up to Canada.
Okay, perfect. We'll just take our little band of...
A little knapsack on the back.
Yeah, let's just hope we don't get like a red governor in Washington State or something crazy.
We have like a progressive governor.
Go vote. So everybody go vote.
Go vote.
All right.
And on that note, we'll see you at the ballots, friends.
Yeah.
As usual, like, rate, subscribe, and share. And
also comment.
And you know what? Comment. And we'll comment back. And until next time, this is... Casey's. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Usually we have Alaska yelling at us.
I know. You're just like, stop it. End it. Okay.
It was good.
Love you, Alaska Music. We miss you. Bye. I just said miss. Bye, y'all. I can't talk.
We miss you and we miss you.
We miss you. All right,
everybody. Go vote. And also remember, hope's a muscle. You have to act it. You have to use it. Love you. Bye.
Aw, that was so cute.
Bye.